Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me today is Jacob Murdoch, Executive Director of the Nevada Chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. The organization's 9th annual Winter Wine Fest is coming up very soon. Jacob, thank you so much for being here today.
Heather, thank you so much. It is a real pleasure to be with you again.
So the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation was called the National Hemophilia Foundation last time we spoke. Why the name change?
That's a great question. So we changed our name after 75 years to really better reflect the community that we serve. So the most popularly known bleeding disorder is hemophilia, but the most commonly diagnosed bleeding disorder is called von Willebrand's disease, and that affects 1-2% of the population. So we changed our name in order to be much more inclusive of bleeding disorders that are beyond hemophilia, and it really just better reflects the work that we do. We've already been working with these populations. It's just our name didn't reflect that. So we're excited about the new name because it absolutely better reflects the work that we're doing.
Yeah, for sure. So by any name, what exactly does the organization do?
Sure. So we serve the approximately 700 families who are affected by inheritable bleeding disorders in the state. And so what we do is we provide things like educational programs, social supports, financial assistance, mental health assistance, fellowship opportunities, really lots of ways for individuals that are a part of this community across the state to both learn more about their chronic condition, but also meet other folks who are in similar positions so that they can learn from each other. So we do basically everything but their medical care is the way that I like to describe it. So they get their medical care elsewhere, but we're to help provide that like social support system for them.
Wow. Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And we always hear that, you know, we wish that this was available to folks with other chronic conditions, which I agree. I think it would be great for everybody to have this type of support system.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so tell us about the 9th annual Winter Wine Fest coming up in April.
Sure. So this is one of our two biggest fundraisers a year, but the biggest one for folks that are not necessarily already involved in the bleeding disorders community. So as you mentioned, this is our 9th annual. It's an opportunity for folks to get together, particularly if you're a wine aficionado, get together with other wine aficionados and taste some wine that maybe you've never had before, bid on some really amazing silent auction items, and support a really great cause, which for us, this money that we raise through our Wine Fest goes to our youth programs, particularly our youth camp programs. So it's a great way to give back to our community while also having a really, really great time.
What are some of the silent auction items?
So we've got items ranging from, of course, our local favorites, the Golden Knights. We've got an item from the Raiders. We've got some tickets from both the Composer's Room and Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club. Meow Wolf has provided us a really great pack of tickets and some souvenirs from Omega Mart. So those are just a few of the things that we have. We also have a private wine tasting event that will be auctioned off from our friends with the Boisette collection. So we've got some really fun items for folks to bid on. And this year, what's new this year is there's an in-person silent auction, but for folks that aren't able to attend, we will have some of those items available online for auction before the event.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So besides tasting some amazing wines and bidding on some great silent auction items, what else will be included in the evening?
So we will have a variety of heavy hors d'oeuvres available throughout the evening. We have a DJ who's going to provide some great tunes. I know last year it wasn't something we were thinking was going to happen, but we had folks who started dancing the night away. And so it's a really, you know, really fun opportunity for that. We'll also have a photo booth that's going to be available. And then, you know, just a great time to mix and mingle with a variety of folks that you may or may not interact with. I think of it as a really great night out of something to do with your friends because, you know, it's either a great end to your week. It could be a great start to your weekend if that's something you'd like to do, which is one of the reasons, too, we're really excited to have the event downtown this year for the first time. And as that could be a great starting off point for a weekend.
Yeah. Okay. So when and where exactly does it take place downtown?
Sure. So our new location this year is the Vegas Event Center, which is right in the heart of the Arts District. Closest cross streets are Charleston and Las Vegas Boulevard. So that's where it's taking place. It is on April 5th. The general admission time is 6 to 8 p.m. We do have a special VIP experience that will start at 5 p.m. The location is great. One, you know, in the past, Winter Wine Fest has been Winter Wine Fest because we've done it outdoors and you get to brave the elements. This year, it's inside. So does not matter what the weather is. It's going to be perfect indoors at the Vegas Event Center.
I mean, April 5th is perfect weather all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It is absolutely always perfect timing. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so where can people go if they want to, first of all, find out more about what the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation does, or if they want to get involved with volunteering or offering support, or if they want to get tickets to the upcoming Winter Wine Fest?
Great. So our website is hfnv.org. And one of the first things you're going to see up there is the link to buy tickets to the Wine Fest. The tickets are only available on our website, so that is the place to go. You can also find information out about, you know, what it is that we do, information about bleeding disorders. You know, one of the things that I like to remind people of, if you are an individual who maybe has abnormal bleeding, that's not normal for a reason. You should get that checked out. You can also visit our website to find some resources for that. But hfnv.org is the place to go to find out more about our organization, how to volunteer maybe for some of our upcoming programs, but absolutely also to buy tickets to our Wine Fest.
Awesome. And then, of course, if someone has a bleeding disorder and they're looking for that social connection, they can apply to become part of the organization?
Absolutely. And it is completely free. So we are an organization, you know, that fortunately we're able to, you know, serve folks with diagnosed bleeding disorders across the state at no, and almost all of our programs that we do are no charge. And if there is a charge, you're generally getting that money back some way. So we're able to do that for our community.
Nice. That's so awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And Wine Fest is a big, big reason why we can provide camp experiences to our families and our teenagers without a cost to them, which is huge.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So hfnv.org is the website to go to. That's Hemophilia Foundation Nevada, HFNV, but it's now called the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. Doesn't matter. Website is easy. hfnv.org. You can find out more about what the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation does, specifically the Nevada chapter. You can get involved in volunteering. You can make a donation. You can apply to get services if you have a bleeding disorder, or you can get tickets to the upcoming 9th annual Winter Wine Fest. Once again, that's happening on Friday, April 5th, 6 to 8 p.m. general admission, VIP at 5 p.m. It's happening at the Vegas Event Center downtown. That's on Las Vegas Boulevard, just south of Charleston Boulevard. And once again, that website, hfnv.org. And we've been speaking with Jacob Murdoch. He's the executive director of the Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation. And Jacob, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about what the organization does, and especially about this amazing sounding event that you've got coming up. So I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Heather, thank you so much for your time as well. We very much appreciate your support. Thank you.
We are the 25%. That's a quarter of all Americans, over 61 million people with a disability. And we want a world where everyone is 100% included, just like you. Easter Seals Disability Services. We are the 25.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vale, and joining me is Mark Brown, CEO of Miracle Flights. The nonprofit organization is hosting their second annual Soaree fundraising event soon with an appropriate aviation theme combined with Hollywood glamour. Mark, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who aren't familiar, what exactly is Miracle Flights?
Well, Miracle Flights is a nonprofit that has been in Las Vegas for 35 years. And our mission is very simple, and that is to fly sick children to medical care that they can't get in their local community. And we're a national organization, although Las Vegas is our home. and we average about 700 flights a month all over the country. And so a situation might be where parents get a diagnosis for their child, and the local doctor says, in order to get the best care possible, or in some cases of a rare disease, the only care possible, you need to fly to a certain specialist or a children's hospital, or maybe it's the only doctor in the country who treats this illness.
Okay. What are the criteria for a parent to request a flight for their sick kid who needs treatment somewhere else?
Right. So we do have an income requirement. They have to qualify with the income requirement, and that information is on our website, miracleflights.org. And then typically the doctor, local doctor, will provide a recommendation. But once they go through our online application and qualify, which we're a yes organization, we do everything we can to help parents who need the help. Usually it's pretty quick process on our end. We do ask that we get at least 14 days advance notice, but we can turn around an application for a family to fly within a couple of days under normal circumstances. So we're not disease specific. It could be and is any particular issue that a child's facing. They have to be under 18 years old. But if there's an issue and the doctor and the parents have identified help somewhere else, we'll do whatever we can to help get that child there. And I want your listeners to understand, we originally were all private pilots all over the country, but now it's all on commercial airlines. So we pay for those flights. And once you're part of our family, we'll pay for one flight or 100 flights. It doesn't matter. But the patient does have to be able to qualify under the airline's guidelines. And so these aren't emergent flights where there's a medical team on board. These are usually going for medical appointments, surgeries that are planned, et cetera.
Okay. Now, 700 flights a month is a lot of flights, which means a lot of funds are needed. So tell us about the second annual SORE fundraising event that you have coming up in April.
Right. So we put on one of the best fundraisers in Las Vegas, very unique. And so SORE is on April 12th, beginning at 6 p.m. And it's actually held in a private jet hangar. And last year was our first year. We had about 300 people there. And our second year, we're expecting even more people. And what's so cool about this event is, in addition to raising funds for Miracle Flights, everybody who attends will get a ticket. And they can have a choice of putting that ticket into one or two hoppers. And one of them is to get an amazing staycation at one of the local hotels, and they can use that anytime during the year. Or the other opportunity, which is unique, is we have a private jet on display at this hangar, and three lucky couples will get their ticket drawn to jump on that jet and leave from the party to go to a VIP weekend down in Beverly Hills this year. So they actually will get to be on a private jet, and we put them up at an amazing hotel, and they get a $500 gift card, and they're treated like kings and queens over the weekend. So it's an incredible and unique event.
Yeah, wow, that's fantastic. When you said the best fundraiser in Vegas, I'm thinking, you know, that's a pretty tall order, but I think you kind of got it there. That sounds pretty good.
Right. Well, what's great, I mean, I've been in town a long time, and I can't tell you how many of those chicken dinners I've been to, right? We have amazing food, we have amazing drink, and we have an incredible band this year. There's going to be an opportunity to win a free car for people. But many people have not been in a private jet hangar, and very few people as well have had the opportunity to go for what is really a minimal cost, have an opportunity to jump on a private plane and have that incredible experience. So it is unique.
Yeah, nice. All right. So besides the fantastic prizes and the great location, and you mentioned good food, what can people expect? What does the night unfold like as they go through it?
Well, they will arrive at the hangar, and valet parking is available for everybody. You'll be carted, literally on carts, from the parking area to the event. And once you arrive, you're in this incredible space. and you're going to see jets. You're going to see some unique cars. The event is very special this year because we're honoring a lady that's been an incredible help to us as an organization. And that's Mary Beth Seawall, who's president and CEO of the Las Vegas Chamber. And she has just been one of our biggest and strongest advocates. And so this year she's being honored. We're cognizant that people are there to have a good time, and that they will, but they're also, we'll talk a little bit about the organization. We'll have a number of families there that will be sharing their unique story during the night. And then we'll take a little time honoring Mary Beth. And then we do the raffle, and the raffle is cool. Last year, we had a unique circumstance. We didn't plan it, but we pulled a ticket. A couple were the first ticket, and they said, absolutely, we're going. The second person, absolutely, we're going, and she was taking a friend. And the third person actually was her friend, just by coincidence. And Mark Chinook, who was our MC last year, he's the announcer for the Golden Knights, said, are you going? She says, yes, I'm going. I'm going with my friend right there. So throw the ticket back in. So we got to pick a fourth time. And this gentleman says, yes, we're going. And his wife runs up and says, no, we have three kids at home and don't have a babysitter. We can't go. And he goes, it's a private jet. We're going. We'll find a babysitter. Call your mom. So they didn't pass up on the opportunity. And the next day we had pictures of them shopping at Walmart for toothbrushes and underwear. But it was awesome. So people that can get away, we encourage you to bring your suitcase, keep a bag packed. If you can keep it in the car, you'll have time to go get it. But the opportunity to win the prize, which is valued at about $25,000, is incredible. And then this year, we're actually going to have a live auction. We're going to have surprises, but we are going to have another amazing puppy that will be for sale that people just fought over almost last year. So it's going to be an exciting evening.
Yeah, that sounds great. So what do the funds raised go to support? Is it Miracle Flights in general, or are there specific projects that you allocate the funds to?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so we're very unique in the charity world that 100% of every dollar that we raise goes to our programming, goes to pay for these flights for these sick children. As you said, 700 flights is a lot. And so what we do is very expensive. We've all flown. We know how expensive flying can be. Average cost is anywhere from $500 to $600. But depending on where they're located, it could be a lot more than that. So we actually have some other money that's earmarked just for our operating expense. So every dollar goes into flying these sick children. And while we have some wonderful partners, Southwest Airlines is a great partner. They donate hundreds of flights to us every year. And we have great partnerships, Finley Automotive, Finley Volkswagen is another great partner. But we need help. We can't do it alone. And unfortunately, if someone gets a diagnosis of a disease with their child, insurance might cover the medical care, but in very rare circumstances, is there any insurance to pay for that transportation? And so nothing's worse than the hearing, okay, there's hope, there's a chance my child could get better, but not being able to get there and get that help. And that's where we step in. We like to say that we provide the cure for distance. And that's truly what these flights are designed to do, is to not make, you know, the fact that your opportunity to get better is located across the country an impediment. We step in and try to help whenever we can.
That's fantastic. So we've had your team members on the show a few times before, so I know you have a lot of stuff going on throughout the year. What are some of the other projects and events that you have coming up?
So our team amazes me. We're out in the community a lot. We have an event every year, and I don't think it's been scheduled yet, called Jags and Jets. It's at the local Jaguar dealership, and that is a great party as well. So I would encourage everybody to keep checking in our website once we finalize that. We do a very cool event in conjunction with Howard Hughes Corporation in downtown Summerlin called Lights for Flights during the holidays, where we have 7 neon signs that are located throughout downtown Summerlin. And it's become part of the holiday tradition down there. People take pictures. Many make it their holiday card. So we're always out in the community. And we also are very active with trips to Sunrise Children's Hospital. And if somebody has an event where they need us to show up, we have a mascot called Miles, we give out a little bear that looks like a World War II pilot to all our sick kids. And we have a mascot, Miles, who mimics that. And Miles loves to be out in the community. So he's just about every weekend we're out there somewhere promoting our cause and trying to get the word out about the help that we can provide families.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so where can listeners go if they want to find out more about Miracle Flights, maybe even request services if they qualify, get involved in helping out somehow, or get tickets to the second annual Soiree fundraising event coming up on Friday, April 12th?
Yes, so the best place to go is miracleflights.org. And when you get there, you'll see the opportunity to do a number of the things you just talked about. If you're a family in need, there's a request a flight tab, and please click on that and start to go through the process. We'll reach out to you very quickly. Of course, you can always donate. You know, a politician once said it takes a village, and in our case, it really does. And we've been lucky to have great partners, but be blessed by the people in this community. And then you'll also see a tab for Soiree, and the tickets are very reasonable. We do have sponsorships available, individual tickets for sale. Sponsorships are a great deal because you get a lot of tickets and have a greater chance to win that flight. So miracleflights.org is the best place to go to get that. And there's my phone number's on there, as well as many other members of our team. And if you have any questions, you can call us directly.
All right. Fantastic. So once again, miracleflights.org is the website to go to. Miracleflights.org. You can get tickets to the second annual Soiree fundraising event that's under the events tab. You can also get involved as a volunteer, make a donation. And if you have a kid who's sick and needs to be transported to a different location around the country, you can apply there as well for Miracle Flights services. All of it's available at miracleflights.org. And once again, the second annual Soiree fundraising event is coming up on Friday, April 12th from 6 to 10 p.m. at a private jet hangar that you'll find out more about. And once again, miracleflights.org is the place to go. And we've been speaking today with Mark Brown, who's the CEO of Miracle Flights. And Mark, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing with us what you do for the community and for spending your time with us. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for helping us get the word out. We really appreciate it.
Learning your child has cancer causes an emotional and financial crisis. Often, the best place for treatment is far from home. But with the help of the National Children's Cancer Society, children battling cancer can get to life-saving treatment, whether it's across town or across the country. To learn how we give families hope and give their children the best shot at survival, visit thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org, because no family should go through childhood cancer alone.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Anna Blomdahl, career developer for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. Their new Launchpad Career Center is part of the Boys and Girls Club's workforce development program and designed to help youth identify and prepare post-high school pathways that best fit their interests, abilities, and passions. Anna, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to highlight what we're doing over here.
So for those who aren't familiar with the organization, what exactly is the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada?
Sure. Boys and Girls Club of Southern Nevada serves members from age 6, first graders, up through high school graduation at 18. And one of the things I really love about the vision and mission of Boys and Girls Clubs is that they really are about addressing the whole child. And so that includes arts, and that includes literacy, that includes STEM, you know, so many pieces, health and fitness. And in recent years, workforce development has become a real cornerstone of Boys and Girls Club's as well. And that's my role. And I just find it to be a very exciting organization to be a part of, because the level of dedication to really preparing our members, and especially those that need it most, to be life and workforce ready. And so that's academic as much as it is social, emotional learning and all the things. So I just absolutely love that about our organization.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic. So what is this new Launchpad Career Center?
Sure. So the Launchpad is intended as a dedicated space to assist members with really finding the right fit for them, both in terms of career pathways and as well as training and education. So it is intended to be a place where all the things that we do to talk about workforce development become real and tangible. And so it involves both exploration. So the three principles with Boys and Girls Club of workforce development is to explore, develop, and apply. And so we are about making sure that members get a chance to actually put their hands to things. So for instance, one of the organizations that we're working with is the Nevada School of Welding. And so we can take 17 and 18 year olds over there and they get a chance to actually weld stuff, right? We have opportunities with the Nevada Help Desk to, we're fine tuning right now the details. The hope is to bring programming where we can train the trainer and then Nevada Help Desk will provide opportunities for members to become certified as in cybersecurity, have a paid internship over summers while they're in high school, and then walk into a $25 an hour job when they graduate high school. So it's about getting real and practical and tangible. It's about both exposing and exploring various careers. So for instance, tomorrow we have such a super exciting event. We're hosting both at our Reynolds location in the launch pad there and at the Agassiz location, where an additional launch pad will be built out in that clubhouse by the end of the year. And we're doing this speed dating career expo. So kids are going to get to sit down with folks from all kinds of different career pathways. And so it's varied. So we have some that are like trade school pathways. Nevada Help Desk that I mentioned will be there. The welding school will be there. We have an optician is coming. U.S. Bank will be there. Adidas will be there. T-Mobile. So many folks are coming out to just express to kids, this is kind of what this job actually looks like, feels like, sounds like. This is what it takes to get there. You know, kids get to kind of reverse interview and find out, is this something that's a good fit for me? And I'm going to hear from somebody who's actually, you know, walking out that career pathway on the day to day and find out what would make it a good fit, what would make it not a good fit. So I'm just super pumped about those kind of exploration opportunities. But then it's also about developing. And so some of it looks like providing certification pathways. So for instance, that cybersecurity is an actual certification. We'll also be providing opportunities for first aid, for CPR certifications. We are working to pin down a program with the Restaurant Hospitality Institute that will allow members to get their food handler's card, their alcohol awareness card. And then when it gets to the apply part, that's where we actually have the opportunities with apprenticeships, pre-apprenticeships, internships, job shadowing, all of those things where kids get to go out and really apply the skills that they've gained so that when they do graduate high school, they are fully prepared for whatever the next steps might be, whether it's college, whether it's trade school, whether it's military, whether it's straight to the workforce that we've prepared them to succeed.
Wow, that's fantastic. So what kids are eligible to take part in these programs and events, including the internships, apprenticeships, job shadowing, and certifications?
Yeah, so it just depends on the specifics of that. So eventually the dream is to have more extensive workforce development programming for our younger members. Currently, we have certification program for the younger members in some Microsoft things. But as a rule, the workforce development, the real targeted programming is for teens, 13 to 18. And then it depends. Some of the certifications are available, like the first aid. Kids from 13 and up can do that training. In fact, I think we actually can offer it as young as 11. But other things like the cybersecurity is for a 16 and up. The welding opportunity, the explore piece would be available at 17 or 18. But to actually take part in that program, you have to have graduated high school. So some of it is lining it up, teeing it up so that as they graduate, they walk into something. Some of it is stuff that kids can actually jump into now, like the Restaurant Hospitality Institute, one of the folks that we're working with, that will be available for 16 and up. But the exploration piece, getting to kind of job shadow, and you know, we take kids out to Old Navy. We're going to take them out to Nevada Help Desk. We're going to, you know, we are able to bring them on various field trips to job shadow from 13 and up. And then we also have some really cool technology that kids of all ages can also have access to. So we have these wonderful transfer VR virtual reality headsets that have a pretty good variety of careers that kids can stand in the feet of somebody who's operating on a knee, or who's an EMT at an accident scene, or can do a cell phone tower repair, or you know, various things that are hands-on. And it's super cool. Like the graphics of it and everything are just absolutely amazing. And then we have other tools such as Jobtimize, which gives kids 13 and up an opportunity to figure out what their interests are, what their passions are. And really, it's actually AI-assisted technology to help. The Jobtimize gives you the feedback of the things that would be a good fit for you, but you get it feedback, and then it really dials in these various career opportunities. Kids can actually create, with the help of the tool, a resume, a cover letter, and then submit it. It goes straight to Indeed. How fantastic is that? if they choose to. It's fantastic. And then we also have something called Virtual Job Shadow through Pathful. So Transfer VR, the virtual reality headset, doesn't have... Some careers are not really well suited for that type of experience, but our virtual job shadow has thousands of videos for tons and tons of different careers, so that kids can really find out, with some nice high production video, to see if, again, you know, kind of find out what is it really like in the trenches of that job, and is it something I think I would really enjoy, and lets you search up and find out what would be the training pathway for that.
Okay, awesome. So the Donald W. Reynolds Club is the first to have a Launchpad Career Center, and you mentioned the Andre Agassi Club will get one later this year. Now, what about the other 11 Boys and Girls Club locations?
Sure. So I'm super excited to tell you that in between the Reynolds one launched just a couple of weeks ago, Agassi will come end of the year, but before Agassi, sometime in the next several months, we'll be launching a mobile site. Not only will it serve our other locations, and of course, we'll have members that can come on over, like the Speed Dating Career Expo is happening at Reynolds and Agassi, and members from our downtown clubs will be at the Agassi location. Members from our central and southern clubs will be at the Reynolds location. But as we move forward to this mobile site, that will be something that we can take that over to participate with our local schools. And, you know, if they're having a try some of the things that we have, try the VR headset, try the job shadowing website. And we're working toward, with our local workforce development board and Employee Nevada Youth Hub, to create opportunities for kids to receive screening through them, and eligible members, which is likely many of our members, will be able to have, through Employee Nevada Youth Hub, opportunities to connect with their case managers and their tools to help them. We have certain relationships to create apprenticeships, internships, but they really have just a huge breadth of opportunities that they can also offer for our members. And so we're working toward dialing that in here in the very near future as well.
Fantastic. Okay, so how do people find out more about the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada? Or if teens want to sign up and become members so they can take advantage of the Launchpad Career Center programming?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would encourage folks to check out our website, Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada, and you can actually find out all the details about membership there. What's really cool for teens is that it's $20 a year for the membership, and there are no weekly fees for that. If there are folks that have younger kids, we do also offer childcare assistance for those that are qualified for that. And then it's $40 a week for the younger youth. And that includes transportation from a limited number of schools, which is fantastic. So kids can get picked up straight from school. But that information is all on our website, Boys and Girls Club of Southern Nevada. And so I would welcome, you know, folks to reach out and check out what we have to offer. It really is. It's just a fantastic organization.
Okay, awesome. So once again, check out Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada online. The website is bgcsnv.org, stands for Boys and Girls Clubs Southern Nevada, bgcsnv.org. Teens are only $20 a year, and that's all they pay, and they can take advantage of all that amazing Launchpad Career Center programming that Anna was talking about. Now, there's two physical locations, or there will be two physical locations this year. One is already exists at the Reynolds Club, and the other will exist at the Andre Agassi Club. And then there's the mobile Launchpad Career Center that goes from club to club in case your teen or you are at one of the other 11 Boys and Girls Club locations around the Valley. You can find all those locations as well on the website, again, bgcsnv.org. And we've been speaking with Anna Blomdahl. She's the career developer for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Southern Nevada. She's in charge of the Workforce Development Program, which includes the Launchpad Career Center, which sounds so exciting and amazing. And Anna, I want to thank you so much for being here and sharing this new resource with us. Thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you as well. Appreciate it.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes. I'm not a criminal.
Youth Advocate Programs is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. Learn how at yapinc.org.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Monica Mohindra, Director of the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress. March is Women's History Month, and the Library of Congress is bringing attention to a specific collection with the goal of inspiring more women and minorities to contribute their story to the Veterans History Project. Monica, thank you so much for being here today.
Heather, I appreciate you putting a spotlight on this.
So first of all, what is the Veterans History Project?
The Veterans History Project is really your project. It is comprised of the first person remembrances of U.S. veterans who served from World War I through the more recent conflict. They have worked together with their family members, neighbors, community members to ensure that those collections of their first person experience are here at the Library of Congress so that we all better understand our history through their experience and how we're connected to it. It's both an archive of all of that, 117,000 individual voices so far, and it's growing through the efforts of people like you and your listeners.
Wow, awesome. Okay, so why is the Veterans History Project focusing on stories from women veterans now?
Well, it's always a good time to listen to women, but we're lucky to be in this moment where we all celebrate Women's History Month. Women comprise 11% of the U.S. veteran population, and according to Pew Research, that number is expected to increase up to 20% over the next two decades or so. And by capturing these details of women veterans' experience now, we'll all together help ensure that not just the fullness of the story of our service history for the U.S., but also our whole story is well documented and preserved here at the Library of Congress, not just for future generations and posterity, which we represent here, but together we're making this available today for users and researchers also across the country.
Nice. Okay. Now, what's special about the particular battalion that you've been shining the spotlight on recently?
Oh my goodness, what isn't special about the 6888 Central Coastal Battalion? They were the only all-African-American, all-female unit to be deployed overseas during World War II. Between the ages of 17 and 54 years old, they faced a mountain of mail, backlogged millions of pieces for U.S. service members in Europe in 1945. And they accomplished this Herculean task against odds of, you know, discrimination and horrible treatment for their color and their gender, not to mention rat infestation and terrible weather. They were given 6 months to accomplish this incredibly important task, and they accomplished it in 3 months. One thing we can all relate to, whether we've served or not, as I have not, is I have been away from my family and needed that connection. Today we have it in that thing in our pocket, but then we needed that mail. So taking on that Herculean task and succeeding beyond any wild dreams is really credited with boosting the troops' morale to such a point that it helped win the war.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. You know, it seems unusual to have an all-female, let alone all-Black battalion back in World War II. So why was the 6888 Central Postal Battalion even created?
I mean, it really was an effort to ensure that this service could accomplish that backlog, which was understood to be incredibly important for those at the front lines. Women were obviously not permitted to serve at the front lines, and they were not permitted to make a difference in other areas. In fact, the Code Girls, who also served during World War II, were also an all-female unit, and they also were not permitted to speak about their efforts, some of them carrying those stories, as some of the Postal Battalion women did, to their grave, fearful of sharing this important story because they were told it was secret. The African-American members of the Code Girls actually shared only that they were secretaries because that would be believable about their service.
Wow, that's incredible. So what made them Code Girls? What kinds of codes were they keeping?
They were breaking codes.
Oh, okay.
Breaking codes and encryption and helping with all of that effort. You know, all of the secret messages that were passed back and forth that everyone was engaged in during that, you know, really terrible conflict. So they were helping to crack those codes.
That's fantastic. It sounds like there's a lot of great stories already at the Veterans History Project. So where can people go for more information or to access some of those stories that are featured in the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress?
I appreciate you putting a highlight that not only can we all participate, but we can all access and be enriched by these 117,000 and growing collections, including some of these extraordinary collections of women veterans. It's as simple as going to the website, LOC for Library of Congress.gov, G-O-V, /vets, V-E-T-S, the plural for veterans. And there you'll find everything you need, a brief video walking you through how to participate, videos walking you through how to get to all the different curated bits of information and directly to the voices of these veterans. We have research guides. In fact, there's a beautiful research guide just released about the 6888 Postal Battalion. And there's blog posts and find us on social media too. Content from these collections is available all throughout the website and through social media. And we'd love for you to access them and see how you're connected to these veterans.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so once again, the website is loc.gov/vets. That stands for Library of Congress, loc.gov/vets. And that takes you to the homepage for the Veterans History Project. If you want to just learn more about these amazing veterans, including the 6888 Central Postal Battalion, the first all-female, all-Black battalion, and also the Code Girls who were active back then in World War II, all of that information is there. Or if you're a veteran and want to share your own story, there's a way to do that as well. So please contribute and continue building this resource for the future that brings the stories of our history alive. loc.gov/vets. And again, we've been speaking with Monica Mohindra. She's the director of the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress. And Monica, I want to thank you so much for being here and highlighting these amazing stories for us and letting us know where we can access and contribute more. So thank you so much for your time.
Really appreciate your time, Heather.
Hi, I'm Bob Maxwell, CEO of Voice of the Veteran. In the last year, we have helped secure nearly $4 million in aid and lifetime benefits for veterans. If you're a veteran, call us today at 702-381-2566.
This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Dr. James T. McCormick, the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer State Chair of Pennsylvania, Chief of Colorectal Surgery at Allegheny Health Network, and a professor of surgery at Drexel College of Medicine. March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and this type of cancer is increasing among young people. Dr. McCormick, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you, Heather. I appreciate you helping us get this message out.
Yeah, it's definitely important. Now, why is colorectal cancer increasing among younger people?
Unfortunately, we don't have an answer for that. We do know for sure that people who were born in the 90s are 2 times greater risk of developing colorectal cancer than those who were born in the 1950s. So obviously, then we're seeing young people with colorectal cancer at an unprecedented rate. So the message is, we don't know why it's happening, but please don't ignore any symptoms regardless of your age, because you, in fact, even young people could have it.
Yeah. Now, the recommended age for screenings has been lowered from 50 to 45. Do you think it should be even lower?
That's an interesting question. It's screening tests are a balance between trying to determine the risk of the test itself and then the positivity of the test. And so while 45 is going to capture a few more people, it's not going to capture all of the people. And if we lower it to a younger age, we're going to have way too many people seeking screening than we would ever be able to perform safely.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that 45 as an age is great when people don't have any symptoms. But what we do have to do is be vigilant for people at very young ages in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, even before they're at that screening age. Unfortunately, those people are just going to have to rely on, you know, their own self-monitoring. And if they develop any symptoms, to make sure that they get tested right away. Don't let those symptoms linger. Don't wait 6 months or a year. Go get tested. Remind your doctor that maybe you would need a colonoscopy despite the fact that you're not of the screening age. And unfortunately, screening's not going to pick those people up. I don't think we're going to be able to change that age.
Okay. So then what are some of the symptoms of colorectal cancer that people should be aware of?
Well, bloating, change in your bowel habits, bleeding, pain. All of those things are things that can be caused by a number of different things, but one of them is colorectal cancer. And so if any of those happen, you have to go and discuss that with your doctor and get tested. Most people know what their normal bowels are. And if you notice that they've changed over the last weeks or months, then that's a sign that you should probably get checked, because there's not a reason for your bowels to change that couldn't exclude colorectal cancer.
Okay, so when you say get tested, that's typically getting a colonoscopy?
Yeah, the most reliable test for patients with symptoms is a colonoscopy. That's what I recommend. Now, when we talk about screening, there are some alternatives to colonoscopy that provide maybe not quite as good as a colonoscopy, but a preliminary screening. But that's not appropriate for someone who is not of screening age or appropriate for someone who has any symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah. And a colonoscopy would also determine whether those symptoms were related to something else, like inflammatory bowel disease or something like that.
That's absolutely right. Of course. Yes. So the other reasons that people could have change in their bowel habits are inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, diverticulitis. Some people just, your bowels just evolve over time. So there are other reasons, and colon cancer is one of them. But that's the one we want to make sure we don't miss.
Yeah, absolutely. So how can people of all ages reduce their risk of developing colorectal cancer?
So the main thing that we talk about, other than screening at age 45, is, you know, diet and lifestyle modifications. It's just like any other disease process, that healthy diet, fresh fruits and vegetables, green leafy vegetables, maintaining a healthy weight, that Mediterranean diet, that's been shown to decrease the risk of colorectal cancer. And of course, exercise, healthy weight, those are both also associated with decreasing your risk of colorectal cancer, as well as other diseases, obviously. But it's no different for colorectal cancer. A healthy diet, healthy lifestyle helps decrease the risk. Other than that, pay attention to those symptoms and get screened at age 45.
Yeah. And then what can people do to make preparing for a colonoscopy easier when they do get to that stage of having one?
So there's really not a whole lot we can do other than clean out the colon so that we can do the colonoscopy. Unfortunately, that day before is probably the most unpleasant part for most people, but it's fairly well tolerated. So once you get past that, you show up the day of the study, they give you medicine so you don't care what we're doing, and we perform the test and you don't remember it. You wake up and lo and behold, you get yourself hopefully a clean bill of health.
Okay, perfect. So where can people go to get more information on colorectal cancer for Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, including how to get screened and some of the symptoms to watch for?
I recommend people go to facs.org. That's facs.org/colorectal cancer. There's plenty of information there about screening and treatment.
Perfect. Okay. So once again, that website, facs.org/colorectal cancer. That's the American College of Surgeons, facs.org/colorectal cancer. And we've been speaking with Dr. James T. McCormick. He's the American College of Surgeons Commission on Cancer, State Chair of Pennsylvania. And Dr. McCormick, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know this important information, because I don't think a lot of people are aware that it can affect people that young. So it's great that you're here getting the word out, and I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
And I appreciate you helping us get the word out. It's really important. Thank you.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screen. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
I'm Heather Vale with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The Nevada Shakespeare Festival is bringing a variety of the Bard's notable works to Las Vegas with three productions this season. The main stage production of Titus Andronicus runs for two weekends, March 28th to 30th and April 3rd to 6th, with 7:30 p.m. performances at Cornerstone Park, 1600 Wigwam Parkway, and the April 3rd performance will be Pay What You Can. The free Shakespeare in the Park tour will feature Macbeth and take place in April and May at various locations around the Valley, including Saturday, April 13th in Solista Park Inspirada at 6 p.m., Thursday, April 25th in Heritage Park Senior Center at 1:30 p.m., and Saturday, May 4th at the Silver Spring Rec Center at 6 p.m. Julius Caesar will be presented May 9th to 11th at the Las Vegas Academy of the Arts. All the performances include modern and unexpected elements. You can find out more or get your tickets at NevadaShakespeareFestival.com. That's NevadaShakespeareFestival.com. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include Monday, April 1st at 8 p.m. benefiting Nevada Fertility Advocates, and Monday, April 15th at 8 p.m. benefiting the Farrar Foundation. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. The Nevada chapter of the National Bleeding Disorders Foundation is holding their 9th annual Winter Wine Fest on Friday, April 5th from 6 to 8 p.m. with VIP reception at 5 p.m. at the Vegas Events Center downtown, 1201 Las Vegas Boulevard, just south of Charleston. Grab a glass of red while supporting those with bleeding disorders. Find out the details or get tickets at hfnv.org. That stands for Hemophilia Foundation Nevada, hfnv.org. The 6th annual Walk for Friendship Las Vegas fundraiser walk and community carnivals happening Sunday, April 7th, with check-in at 10 a.m., walk at 11 a.m., and carnival at noon at Las Vegas Sports Park, 1400 North Rampart. Support the Friendship Circle's efforts to provide social and recreational opportunities for children and young adults with disabilities. Find out more or register at walkforfriendshiplv.com. That's the number four. walkforfriendshiplv.com. The Animal Foundation's holding the 21st annual Best in Show Dog Show and Silent Auction benefiting the Valley's lost and abandoned animals on Sunday, April 7th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Thomas and Mack Center at UNLV. More than 20 shelter dogs from the Animal Foundation will strut their stuff on the red carpet and compete to be named Top Dog. And all the canine participants will be available for adoption during the event. Find out more or get your tickets at animalfoundation.com. That's animalfoundation.com. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Foundation and the Gratitude Project are hosting the 7th annual Hidden Heroes Black and White Gala honoring the LVMPD Air Support Search and Rescue Section on Friday, April 12th at 5:30 p.m. at Chaos Nightclub, Palms Casino Resort. Find out more info or get your tickets at lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. That's lvmpdfoundation.org/hidden-heroes. Miracle Flights is hosting the 2nd annual Soaree fundraising event on Friday, April 12th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Thrive Aviation Private Jet Hangar. This event supports the organization's mission of helping children who need to travel for life-changing medical care. Find out more or get your tickets at miracleflights.org. That's miracleflights.org. Green Our Planet's Earth Day Giant Student Farmers Market is happening on Friday, April 19th from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on the lawn at downtown Summerlin. The student-run farmers market will feature produce grown from Clark County School District school gardens. Student farmers will be there to sell their produce and crafts to the public, with all proceeds returning to the schools to amplify and preserve the school's garden programs. Find out more at greenourplanet.org or facebook.com/greenourplanet. Habitat for Humanity Las Vegas is hosting their fourth annual Putt for Homes Golf Tournament on Monday, April 22nd with an 8 a.m. shotgun start at the Red Rock Country Club Mountain Course. Find out more or register to play at lasvegashabitat.org. That's lasvegashabitat.org. Make-A-Wish Southern Nevada is holding their 22nd annual Walk for Wishes fundraising event on World Wish Day, Saturday, April 27th, with 8 a.m. registration and the walk and run starting at 8:30 a.m. at Town Square, Las Vegas. Make-A-Wish chapters and affiliates across the globe come together each year to celebrate World Wish Day, the anniversary of the wish that inspired the founding of Make-A-Wish back in 1980. Sign up or find out more information at wish.org/snv/walk. That's wish.org/snv/walk. And Aid for AIDS of Nevada, or AFAN, is hosting the 34th annual AIDS Walk Las Vegas on Sunday, April 28th at 9 a.m. at Las Vegas Ballpark. This year, AFAN celebrates 40 years of providing HIV/AIDS services to the community, and the walk is in partnership with Clark County's Love, Live, Undetectable Equals Untransmittable campaign. Penn and Teller return as grand marshals for the 23rd consecutive year, and dogs are welcome with a signed pet waiver. Register for the event or find out more at AFANLV.org. That stands for Aid for AIDS of Nevada, AFANLV.org.